Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tee Off. Oh, wait, shit. Sorry. It's just been a really long time since we've done a pod, and I thought we were on the Tee Off. Anyway.
What are we calling
it? Hello, everybody, and welcome to Drollers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Very well, Alan. Happy to be here. Look, Wednesday snuck up on me this week. Got your text 5 minutes ago. Are we on? I'm like, where's Wednesday come from?
Like, should we be on?
Yeah.
No. Long time between drinks. That's why I might have been a little confused between us and those other guys. But we took last week off because it felt like we did 15 pods in 1 week. we've got a little bit to talk to today. But what about the last couple of pods? What'd you think? We were a bit... We're a bit all over the shop.
Back to our roots is the way I see it. And that's been the feedback coming in via the Instagram. Just on the Instagram update, we've got a few more followers come in. So the episodes must have been good because I've gotten many notifications over the last week saying new follower. I feel like the last time I gave a follower update, we just hit the three digits. I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, we now have 238 followers.
Oh, big time. Look at us go.
Yeah. So, look, the podcast went down well with our listeners, particularly our OG listeners. Our OG listeners were big fans of the I can't fucking hear what you're saying audio.
Yeah. Wasn't ideal. We ended up cutting Patty out, which wasn't ideal. And then we got the really good gear from Maddie. To do the live drunk pod, and we still kind of fucked that up because...
We weren't talking into it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We just need our normal jank set up. I think that's where we're at our best.
Yeah. That gear was good.
That was good.
And yeah, when we did talk into the mics, it did sound good.
Oh, yeah. The bits when we did it right were great. get through tonight's, so we'll get right into it. There was a ratings update, and you and I, but more so you, had a absolute mare at the eruption. So we're both just assuming horrendous updates coming my way. I completely forgot about it, so I'm actually looking mine up as we speak. How did you favor?
Unscathed, relatively. So just for the boys playing along at home, I had an 8.38, a 9.30, and an 8.95 at eruption. And as a 9.40 rated player, that is not going to pay out well. But anyway, only down one to 9.39. So absolutely unscathed. I'm I'm taking that like a ratings boost. I'm reading that as I'm like, I'm interpreting that so positively. What about you?
I've just had a look, only down three. I can handle that. Not a great eruption coming off an amazing eruption last year. Not a good Kingston City Classic leading into that as well. So I was not expecting good things. But, yeah, not too bad. But very nervous for what will happen after Nationals if I don't produce another outrageous overperformance. The December update could be tragic.
Look out.
What about Australia-wide? Have you seen anything of note?
Yes, I absolutely have. The retired Dylan Feldman is still Australia's number one disc golfer. But the gap has closed. David Ooh. Perry, in the latest rating update, up one to 1,006.
Big.
Big.
Big time.
Big. Outside of that, you're Bainey there at 994, and Houston has joined him at 994. Ooh. So he's up 4 points in the latest update. So we have a tight leaderboard. It's going to be cool once we get to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 rated disc golfers in Australia. That'll be big.
Yeah.
That's
cool. It's getting thick.
It's getting very thick. Quick scroll through. nothing else jumping off the screen at me to shout out there. Let me just have a little look at FPO search. Class, any, hate how many filters there are to this. Hussy 899. Up 3. So very close to hitting the 900 club and the outright highest rated female disc golfer in Australia right now, even though she represented Great Britain.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm having a bit of a scroll at some of the players of note from Eruption. First and foremost, we had a look at our man, Pen Lu, up 7, 928. Now officially much better at disc golf than me, which is pretty sad.
And pretty obvious for everyone playing along at home.
Cade Ashton, who took the win. I believe he played MPO for a little bit and was just getting Nath Parrish like you wouldn't believe. And had come back down to MA1, and he's had a good year in the MA1. He is up 11 as of his pounding at Eruption and some good events before that. So he's up to 925. Also, I haven't had a check yet to see how our travel companion in, I can't remember his name now.
Kaelin. Kaelin.
Checking him up 7 to 910. So he's definitely moving in the right direction. And what about Honeyman? Wolfed. James Honeyman, this is the beauty of not playing many events. What do you think Honeyman went up?
All right, tell me what his former rating was.
His ratings history, let's have a look. As of the last update in May,
yep,
the last time his thing changed, he was a criminal 895.
Okay.
With 8 rounds used, he's now got 8 rounds used in his current November update.
Jesus. All right. It's something big. Oh, God. I almost want to go outrageous. All right. I'll be conservative and say plus 22.
Pretty good. Plus 25. Oh. He is now a 920 golfer.
Yeah. Fitting.
Oh, big. And we got to check it. There were some handsome performances doing a lot of work here. Brett Zeebel, plus 13, up to 917. Let's see what Narada checks in with his first ever rating. 897. That son of a bitch. He just... fuck that guy. Oh, I hate that. I feel it because I guess the tourney before when he played really well didn't sneak in, so he's only got the Eruption under his belt, that fucker.
Yeah.
He's not an 897 golfer. Oh, whatever. See what Picanti's doing. He's down 1, 869. Nah, we don't like to see that. And then we'll have to check in. We gave this guy a fair bit of shit. Tommy Jankar, back in the right direction. 892, plus 4. Doing well. Oh, I tell you who we need to look at. Reese Circuit. Don't have too many spoilers with our last little, our final update on the Eruption, but let's find Reese Circuit and see what magic has happened to his. Surely something special.
Surely.
He is... Oh, nope. That's never mind. Sorry, Reese. big drop.
Tell me.
Neg 7 drop. Sorry, Reese.
Ouch.
We'll touch on his good form a little later, though. Probably so much more, but yeah, not a ton of time to get through it. Unless there's anything you saw.
No. But yeah, I look forward to you touching on Reese's good form later after his plus 68 event at Eruption.
So I saw you sent a thing out on the socials about how we can't let Aiden be the number one man for the club champ. So that is back in full swing and submissions are underway. Have you got yours in?
I have got mine in. I fall short of Aiden, but based on that leaderboard that I saw, I think I slotted into second on that leaderboard. So feeling pretty comfortable that I'll make it into the event. I did get a bit of feedback on that post, and a young Ryan Deere thinks he can topple him with the latest event.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
I like it. I like that. I am not topping anyone. I had a look at mine, and it is wild. I have a lot of quite high-rated events at Bald Hill and zero events above my metrics rating at any other course.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I've got like a 996 or something stupid at Bald Hill, apparently. And then my next best somewhere else is like 915.
Oh, okay.
It's rough. I did, I will topple a couple people, so it just really depends on how deep we're going. We'll have to, see if they put another update out later. But I might have to, where we got this weekend? Bicentennial.
Yeah.
Might have to try to get out there.
we have Ruffy this week, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, so you've got Aiden Howard on 3,017 for three rounds, which is pretty good. So that's an average of about 1,005 a round. And then I can't see Ryan's, but I came in, mine added up to 2,960. I'm not hitting the 3,000 mark this time around, but I'm sure a couple others can.
All right, that'd be spicy. That'd be very, very spicy. So yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that. We've done a lot of talking about the eruption. We did a drunk pod that covered the first two rounds, I believe.
Yes.
So we'll touch on the results now, and down we'll start with our boy Reese Circuit in MA4. They were in MA3.
It's in MA3, yeah.
FA4, Lily Rima gets it done in a playoff over Taylor Clark. So big time there, huge final round to get it done. And in MA4, I feel like we called this one, did we? Tobias Webber taking it home?
Yes, we did. We did let the people know that that would happen. No, nice. Actually what we said was,
no,
we said what we know about MA4 is whoever's leading after two rounds, 100% goes on to win. And that was Wayne Govan at the stage. And we're like, so Wayne Govan will 100% win.
Yeah, true. But he's done well to hold on to equal second.
Yeah, exactly. He's done terribly well to hold on to top two. That is not the normal way it goes. But awesome work to Bias. Great final round.
Yeah, huge by him. And then in MA3, who we got up top there?
From the chase card. Yeah. Mitch Evers getting it done over Parked Media and the hyphen.
Yeah, Kyle Herbert's in there in second. Alex Young-Jackaway, who was my tip going in there, in third. Tied with Ash Wiedner there as well. It was pretty spicy. Every one of those guys had the lead at one stage, I think, in that final round. And they all just kind of out-retarded themselves. Mac Tatz was a part of this as well, and he is nowhere to be seen anymore on that top section. But he was in that lead card final day. Kyle takes an ace on hole 12.
Huge.
And I got himself, I think, three clear. I think that's where they were at. I might be getting that a bit wrong, but I thought he was like two or three clear at that stage. It was like, he's got to bring that one home. But Mitchie stayed strong, and Kyle took a few bogues, and it came down to the final hole. And what was it? I feel like Kyle was up one going into the final hole. So
yep.
A bogey gets himself a playoff, a par gets himself a win. Turbo Herbo lefty, right? So he just needs to go shoot the little lefty hyzer, safe play, get over that water, take your par. Happy days, right?
Correct.
It took an eight. I don't know what happened, but he took an eight.
No, he took a seven.
Seven.
Yeah. Yeah. Trip bogey to lose by three.
Big.
Yeah.
Big time. So, well done, Mitch. Chase card victory. We love seeing that.
We do.
And yeah, we touched on Reese's Circuit. So as you mentioned, big number event, because you're a prick. But final round, all-time highest rated round for him. So well done, Reese.
Yeah, huge final round.
And big, what was the difference in that? 79 versus 94, 80. So that's 15 strokes difference between Reese and Jace Weed in a final round for Reese to catch him by one.
Yeah.
Big. Cop that, Jace. FA2. What do we have in that one? Do we remember?
Yeah. So, no, we backed this in. Anita Weber to hold on because she had a massive lead. She had like a...
Oh, she did.
Yeah, she had like a 12-stroke lead or something going into the final round. It might have even been 13. And old mate Jono was like, Kate's going to catch her. And anyway, Anita out of the blocks with a double bogey, quad bogey, triple bogey, gave everyone a bit of a sniff. And then when she got to hole 6, 7, and 8, went double bogey, double bogey, double bogey. So it got interesting in FA2, but in the end, Anita held on by a couple of strokes.
Beautiful. Tried her best to lose it, but couldn't be done.
Yeah.
Too big of a lead to start off with. We gave this man a bit of flowers already. But James Honeyman, one of our absolute favorites, takes out a huge MA2 win. Stacked field, 22 players, a lot of quality in there, and he gets it done by a single stroke over Brett Zeeble, who was, I believe, round one leader, and maybe round two? No, maybe not.
Nah, Henry Arnold went in with a 6-stroke lead over Honey going into that final round. You won't find Henry on the podium anymore, unfortunately. Henry did not have a great final round. But yeah, James just leapfrogged the entire podium, went from fourth to first.
And I think a lot of big action happened on hole
seven.
Par five. I had told you that the previous day I'd parked myself at that intersection and had really enjoyed that space. The people coming off hole one just shattered that their round's already over. The people teeing off and just throwing into the straight out of bounds on hole two, just continuing the despair. Guys coming up on the par five have just taken huge numbers, throwing horrendous forehands on hole eight, and getting rollaways on hole 15. It was just a beautiful, beautiful intersection of pain that I thoroughly enjoyed. And you said, oh, I got to get a bit of that action. So when we got there before our rounds, we watched all the MA2 cards come rolling in. And we noticed, well, you noticed Honeyman laying up from, what, inside the circle?
Yeah, 7 meters.
7 meter putt on that treacherous hole seven basket with OB all around it and trees and hills and stuff, and I was just like, oh, what the hell? And you said, nah, that's well, what was your impression?
Yeah, I was just like, there's a bit of play here. There's a bit of play here. Like, he's laying this up for a reason, and yeah, sure enough, he comes up with a big grin on his face. Yep, that was my birdie putt that I decided not to run. I'll take a par, thanks. Brett Zeeble takes the double. Fraser on his card takes the bogey. And Henry on his card takes the 9.
Oof. That was rough.
Yeah.
That was real rough. We didn't even get to see that all unfold because he'd clearly had some OB or something before, I think. Missed a putt that I think it stayed in bounds. And then we were watching someone's tragic roll away on 15, and we look back and we see Henry in a very different spot putting. And I was like, oh, it must have been some misses here. So, yeah, big number, and that set him back. Honey, the smart play, and it all panned out in the end. So well done there, Honey.
Yeah, awesome effort, and he's a legend, so we love to see it. Volunteer harder. Yeah,
100%. I did not... Did not read out Narada's name, which is not good for me because I had him coming. Well, you had him not coming top three.
Correct.
It was chances throughout the weekend. He was there or thereabouts, but when it really came down to crunch time, he was nowhere near it.
Yeah.
So big 7 points go to you.
Thank you very much. Yep, he finds himself 15 strokes behind third.
And right above him, or right tied with him, is Kalen. So I know now that he has not beaten one of the children. We might have skipped past MJ15.
We did.
So we'll just have a quick look back at Joe Paul, who was running his own race down there. He finished with a plus 20, and our man Kalen finished with a plus 29. So not close in the end. Henry with a plus 21, Joe Paul the best of the lot. And, yeah, could not beat either one of the children. And I think 6 points goes to this guy.
Correct.
So we're getting pretty spicy now. What is, that puts myself to 45.
Yes.
And you to 46.
Yes.
In a first to 50 race.
Yes.
We might have to get some clarity on this. Let's say we both hit the mark. But one ends up on 50 and one ends up on 51. What's the go?
Ooh, I like this. I like this. It's a bit of, you know, if you go over your bust, bit of blackjack here.
No, I'm trying to figure out whether, like if you take a 50-51 here to go for the five.
Yeah.
Like
you got to fight. You got to fight trying to find a six,
like a seven or something to win.
Yeah,
or seven to get ahead.
Yeah, nah, good call. Yeah, it has to play that way. If we both get to 50, whoever's the highest takes the chocolates.
I like it. All right, sounds good. All right, it could get interesting later.
Yeah.
In MA50, Michael Cansey holds out for a nice win over our man Mike Vanderlyn. And right there, he was. Yeah, he was dangerously right there. Four strokes back, but that's nothing in when they're shooting plus 37 and plus 34. 41, sorry.
Correct.
So it could have been anything, but still great event there by Mike. Sue Donnelly holds out in the FA40.
Yep.
What about the MA40?
Another jump here. Another jump. We had, who was leading after round two? Paul Arden. And we backed him in. But unfortunately, he ended up losing in a playoff. Is that correct?
Yeah, he came up to me and he said, I pulled an Alan Brunsting. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but I can't imagine it's good. And he said he had a one-stroke lead, going in the final hole. And he threw it out of bounds to set up a playoff, which he then lost. And I guess that's what it's called when it's called an Alan Brunsley when you do that, when you blow it and then lose it in a playoff. So cheers for that, Paul.
That's funny.
Yeah. So second place, still good for him. Jay Ross, Lee Thompson, both played pretty good as well in fourth, just behind one of the locals, Peter Gabe. But yeah, Mick Wilson. A local as well. Too good.
Well done, Mick.
Georgia Carroll gets it done very convincingly over Alice Rendell.
Yeah. Yep.
And in the MA1, this was just a really strong performance by Cade. He had, just excellent this golf all throughout the weekend. A very, very good 979 rated final round. It never really looked that close. Like, Penn was there, and any of those holes could be bad. But, Cade looked pretty comfortable most of the way through that final round. And an absolute daylight between Penn in second place and Tim Davis in third. So, just a huge performance by Penn. Very, very stiff not to win, basically. Like, a big event like that, it was 960-something.
965.
Rated event. 965 rated event. There's not too many of those. You play MA1 and you take an L.
Yeah.
So, huge by him. Well-deserved, massive ratings boost.
Quick shout-out to Matt Hill, who quad bogeyed the last hole. But other than that, just had like one of the cleaner cards I saw for the entire weekend. where he went,
nice.
Pa, 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 bogey, bogey, pa, 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 quad bogey.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. It was on for a plus two there for a long time until he got to hole 18, but it'll get ya. So good last round there by Matt Hill.
MP40, Ryan Johnson, four strokes over Hector Diao. Huge final round by Ryan, 979 rated as well. He's a class act, that man. He's got it done. Chris Villa was in it for a while and then wasn't. Horrendous final round, and he looked very, very angry.
Yeah.
On his final hole.
Yeah, he did.
And then in the MPO, what end up shaking out there?
So, ring-a-ding-ding, as you would expect, and between the two international competitors there, over for obviously the world championship, Casey Hanemeyer and Stanislas Arman, going absolutely toe-to-toe. And only one stroke separated them in the end, with Casey getting it done at 10 down, then Stanislas at minus 9. Jade ends up taking rounding out the podium at minus 7. Great event by Jade, 1,004 rated event. And then you also had Blake coming in with 1,001 rated event. So you got two Aussies playing 1,000 rated event. And then none other than jumping up five spots, Zach James, to go from 10th to 5th with a minus 3 final round. Well done, Zach. Needed to mention that as well.
Yeah, definitely. He's had a few sneaky good events. He's just getting sneaky good.
So, yeah.
Well done to Zach. I reckon he was 930-something rated earlier in the year. So there is hope for the people like me out there.
Yeah, and he's like one of those like annoying nice guys as well. Like,
oh yeah, very nice.
Like, so if he gets like really good, it's going to be like really annoying where you're going to like want to not like him, but you're just going to have to like him.
Yeah. Ville sneaks in the top 10, sixth place there. Good showing by him. It's been not the best year, so good to get a big one there. Sneaking ahead of Timmy Bowens, no easy feats. Ryan Hart's the last cash. Leo misses out by one stroke. Leo. And Ryan D way down there. Way down there with Austin D'Alessandro, which is surprising. But where was our little battle of Aiden? Yeah, Aiden smacked him. Aiden said that was going to be, that should have been his throw's guarantee, was that he definitely beat Ryan Deere and he gets it done by 7. So well done there, Aiden.
Ryan Deere. Hottest round of the event. Classic Reinhardt. Reinhardt, hottest round of the event. Classic Reinhardt thing to do. But minus 6 was the score to beat. No one did better than that.
No. Yeah, that final round by Reinhardt was disgusting. So many birdies. Like, he's so gross. Yeah, that was really, really strange. Yeah, that was Eruption. Another great event. We both didn't play very well, but we had a lot of fun.
Yep.
Had some cool housemates, and we ate some good food and swam and drank and had a good time.
We'd do it all again.
I had my old man. I was having a chat with him yesterday, and he asked me a question. He goes, is the course too hard? Because he's looking at the numbers, and understandably, so we got, five people under par for the weekend. 5 out of 194. Not a good percentage.
No.
And then the numbers are just huge. Like, even if you take you out of MPO, the bottom of that's still high, plus 20s. The MP40s are into the 40s. The MA1s are into the high 40s. Big, big, big numbers over par. Is this course too hard?
The lines were painted very aggressively. The course is not too hard. The course is not too hard. But I will say the lines were painted more aggressively than I've ever seen them painted before.
Mm. I agree with you. That's what I told him. I don't think it's too hard. I can definitely see worlds in where I play that par adjacent. It doesn't happen, but yeah, it's not like I'll go to a hole and be like, there's nothing I can do here. And there's definitely birdies out there, but you can just get yourself into a lot of trouble quite easily.
Yeah.
You got to be very, very clean. Hole 18 might be the only one. I didn't really have any chance of getting that this year, I don't think. For whatever reason, I just didn't have a disc that I really trusted to be able to make that journey. And then that left route was just as bad. I ended up trying silly stuff in the final round, taking a huge number, but that's a bit different. But I don't know. What do you think about hole 18? Is hole 18 too hard? Like, I definitely don't think 17 is, but 18. Do you think 18 is too hard?
I don't like it as the 18th hole.
I can understand that.
Yeah. I think it is in it. Yeah. I don't like it as the 18th hole. It's a laugh. But I'm not sure if the 18th hole is best served as a laugh. You know, I throw the hole 17 at USDGC, and I think USDGC would not be as loved if hole 17 was indeed hole 18. If people just, like, shat their bed on 18, people wouldn't love it. But at 17, people forgive and forget. And I just think being 18 and being your last hole for the day, that's why you get so many double digits there. If it was hole 17, if it was hole 17, you would get far less double digits there. So, no, I don't. It's been there now for a few years. It's going to be iconic. I don't see it changing. But actually, like, from a course design perspective, it doesn't work as an 18th.
I think having it as a round ruiner right at the end is rough. What if they just took the hazard part out? So I think the first year they did it, there wasn't the hazard. Matty Farina took that lone 13, and since then there's been million 14s. We saw 16s, but it was really him on an island, I think, taking that big number back then. Because you could just sort of make that bailout play. A lot of people are sort of too worried about doing it with that hazard there. If they got rid of the hazard, if they still kept the OB
near the green,
short with the water near the green, even around in front of the grandstands. So, like, if you did take that left-hand route, you still got to control it.
Yeah.
And you can't just throw some crazy high hyzers to put the grandstand guys in danger. But do you think if they just remove that section of hazard and just have that as all in play, do you think that sort of ruins the specialness of the hole? Like, does it not really make it a better finishing hole? Like, what would be your thoughts on that?
Yeah, good call. I think that would be a market improvement. I think removing that would enhance the hole.
Because you'd still have the people that want to go straight at it.
Yeah, of course.
That risk of landing on the green.
Yeah.
If you want to just sort of play a that safe hyzer, it's just a lot more palatable to do it when you think you can get a three rather than when you know you're going to get a four.
Yeah.
So I think I'd go back to that if I was them, but they probably won't, and we'll probably just see more crazy numbers, and next year I'm just going to have to figure out how the fuck I get over that island.
Yeah, agreed. I won't be surprised. Yeah, won't be surprised if it doesn't change or never changes. As we know, Michelle listens. Awesome event, Michelle. Killer as always. Best event in the country. And you just take it up a level every year. So well done to you. And because we've said lots of nice things, please get rid of that hazard.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, completely agree. Another amazing event. The eruption, always, always excellent. The course was in tip-top shape, just perfect. So, loved it. All right, we got a message came in from Penn. It just said Penn, 928, Allen, 923. Yep, we've covered that one. Thanks, Penn. all right, we'll have a look at the social day. We had a social day at, where was that, Bicentennial?
Yes.
Nice. Obviously, we weren't there.
No.
But I think there was a few.
Yeah, yeah, there was a bunch. There was a bunch, 40-odd. 48.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy. What was it? Oh, that was, oh, it was after the eruption. That was last weekend. Yeah, geez, man, my week's a blurring. we'll punch through this, but Damian Moosey takes it out over Kim Michelle and Leif Jones in Div C. So well done there, Damo. That's a nice little get. Plus three for him. That'll have to factor pretty handily in the handicaps, I'd imagine.
Yep.
Div B.
Your dad with a neg four.
Crushed it.
Birdie at the front. A good little turkey in there on 1, 2, 3. Over Zoltz on neg two. So Jeff Brunsting, well done.
You say that, but he started on hole four. That birdie was his final three holes.
Oh, big. I love it.
Big time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, huge performance there by Jeff. Nice win.
That is wicked. MPOs, two boys that were, finding themselves on the leaderboard at eruption, going toe-to-toe and coming in a tie at the end in Aiden Howard and Marcus Vlada on minus eight, followed by the inseparable, who end up being paired up together in the doubles this week, Penn and Daz.
Cute.
Yeah.
Very cute. Yeah, Penn, he's got to be careful. He's going to find himself an MPO soon.
Oh, very soon.
Yeah, he's gonna be real careful.
Yeah.
Div A prize winners. Dazza took out the CTB. Jan Kandrzyura. Jesus. Sorry about that. or it might even be Jan, but probably Jan, seeing as the last name. Took out Div B. Marcus Davies took out Div C. The handicap in Div A was Vil and Aiden tied, which he said he'd have to double-check that because he's sure that he heard that someone said it's virtually impossible to get a tie handicap.
So not only did...
I don't know. They ever since we've said that.
Yeah, ever since you said that. They have a tie raw score and they have the exact same handicap as each other, 4.08.
Gross. 4.08.
Yeah.
Like, how are they tying with a 4... Like, how do they both have 4.08 handicaps? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad as... I don't know. As rare as something common.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a good expression, but my brain's not on today. Div B handicap, Nick Tay takes it out, and Div C was Ryan Miranda. So, good going, guys. And we're off to Ruffy Lake this weekend, so that's pretty cool.
Correct. Alex did send us a message saying, don't look too closely at the handicap leaderboard. so we won't look at who got bottom of the handicap leaderboard in Alex Evans.
Yeah, we won't look at that.
Let's not look at that.
Wouldn't think about it. all right. The big thing from the weekend, though, was the world teams. The WIF Diff, whatever the hell they call it. But for us, we just call it, I call it the world teams.
Yeah.
And if you don't know by now, then you're probably not paying attention to disc golf at all.
But and somehow listening to us.
Yeah, like Australia, second place is outrageous, right? That's stunning.
Stunning. Silver medalists at world teams in a competition that had none other than Canada, USA, Norway, Estonia, New Zealand, Japan, Great Britain, Germany, Finland. Like, the list goes on. The list goes on. And we got silver medal.
I would hazard a guess that we were giving up big ratings points in almost every matchup. Like, team to team, I would say. And maybe not every individual matchup, but, like, our team versus their team, I guarantee that most all of them, especially once we hit the finals, we were giving up big time ratings points. So just a ridiculous event, and they should all be very, very proud of themselves, each and every one of them. And you should be pretty proud of yourself too, for picking them, Chris.
Well, I would suggest probably most of the credit should come my way.
Most of it, probably.
Yeah.
And then we had, since you picked it, well, Aussie D came out, and who'd they get in?
Chili.
Oh, yeah, Chili got in. And then we lost Cass, unfortunately, with a broken foot while she was over there, which is just terrible for her. So really sorry for Cass. And Gina Hill was our late replacement and ended up making the final squad.
Correct.
I don't know. There's so much. Like, what do we want to talk about on this? Like, where do we start? Where do we end?
I think.
What are you thinking?
I think we need a. I think we mostly need to talk about the semi-final that got us into the 1-2 matchup. So we had to take on Canada in that final. And it was, yeah, ring-a-ding-ding. In the end up being a 4-4 tie. So Sofia Dinecki, who's like on the pro tour. And played 18 holes against Sarah Lee, and they finished all square.
That's huge for Sarah Lee. She would be giving up big time rating like points there.
50 or 60 rating points.
Yeah.
And then you had Blake Houston and Chris Finn go down to Max and Stuart from Canada. Then you had Alex Canaston and Gina Hill get it done over Tom Gilbert and Colleen McGuinness.
Insane.
Massive win there for Alex and Gina. And
Thomas Gilbert, as in the touring pro Thomas Gilbert.
As in the... Yeah.
Sick.
And then Thomas Gilbert was MPO2 for Canada. MPO1 for Canada was Casey Hanema, fresh off his win at the Eruption, takes on Bainey across the same track and also finishes all square. So Bainey and Sarah Lee just absolutely doing things to halve that match. And then with Alex getting it done over Thomas with Gina's support, they go to a playoff, par five. Have you watched it?
Oh, mate, I did. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched, not live, but yeah, flicked on the end of that, the Estonian coverage or whatever one was before, and they showed the playoff. Fantastic. What happened?
So, yeah, it's a par five from memory.
Yep.
With just OB left and right. And as they were nearing their approaches, you know, Bainey had done some bombs. And so Bainey basically had a jump putt approach remaining with Casey to act first with just like a little flick remaining. And he fucking shanked it. Just shanked it straight OB. And therefore had...
It was crazy.
Yeah. Had to, you know, throw up his next. But he's obviously now putting for bogey or whatever it is. And Bainey was staring down an 8-meter putt. 7-8 meter putt. And just puts it in the heart of the soul. The correct heart of the soul as per the red basket design. And... And Aussies proceed to go nuts. That's just some of the great, like one of the greatest photos in disc golf history. Like, look out, Paul Arden. That is a great photo of those and footage of the Australians just going nuts and getting around Bainey, and just an awesome moment for Australian disc golf.
Yeah, 100%. You did allude to a little bit of a rad basket thing. Are we touching on that now, or you got something for that later?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there was a spit out from, I believe that was Stuart, who had that spit out in their matchup against, no, because they won that match. So,
what I'm guessing is, and we're sort of off the seat of our pants here, guys.
Yeah.
But what I'm guessing is that because that Canadian matchup won one up with none to play,
and
Alex and Gina won up with none to play. That if they had have won
two up,
if either one of them had won two up,
yep,
then
no playoff needed.
They would have had a no playoff. It would have been a countback.
Yes.
What happened?
Yes. So Stuart, 10 meter putt, probably 10.5 meter putt. To win two up, and he just throws it about 6 meters above the band. And at and at the very last minute, it does one of those, oh, I'm going to sneak below the band situations. But it's far too high. And a rat basket just says, you smell like maple syrup to me, mate. I ain't catching this shit. Goodbye.
Oh, it was wild. It was so good. Because, like, I've seen them miss heaps. So I agree with you. He put it too high.
Yeah.
But the part that makes it wild is he'd loved it.
He loved it.
He loved it. He'd fist bumped. He'd turned around to the camera to let his know his countrymen, he's done it. I have given us the win. And nah. So, yeah, that part misses. Therefore, it goes to a playoff. And, the rest, you say, is history.
Yeah.
Oh, wild.
Look, we were up against it against Estonia. Let's just say they got it done. Back-to-back champions, big names. And, you know, I had dinner with a couple of competitors last night. So I had dinner with a Singapore competitor and a Chinese competitor last night out in Fitzroy, which was good. And, they could not have spoken more highly of just like the class act that Estonia brought to the competition. But also they, you know, these two have been probably a bit involved in WIFDIF now for a couple of years. And they think that, they're probably just setting the bar for the rest of the world to be like, come on, start sending your best. Because a few of us are taking this seriously. So if you want a piece, come get it.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of names you'll recognize. Albert Tam leading the way. Mari Vilman also touring pro. On the FBO side, you got Katie Tati.
And
excellent players.
Kaidi Alsulu, also a very well-known FBO player.
Yeah, so up against it, and it was a 4-0 whitewash. I think Estonia won all their matches 4-0. I don't know. I don't think they lost the matchup. I feel like I heard that for the whole entire event. A few big ones. Kept it close for a bit. I watched the whole thing live. I watched the Dave Perry and Sarah Lee matchup and Gina Hill, Chris Finn. They were the other Aussies. And tough going for Gina and Finney. Dave and Sarah were in it for a lot of it. But, just some missed putts late and some class by Mari and Katie were just too good. But off to a great start. How nice was that first hole? And the Estonians had done the safe play and Dave Perry just went, I'm getting us to the basket. And put it to sort of just inside the circle and, made them force their hand. So Sarah could end up even laying up for the par for the win. So that was pretty sick to watch.
Yeah, a couple of big shots by DP. We noticed throughout the event and we were talking in the group chat, it felt like he was doing a bit of bench warming. It was great to see him get the nod for the final day because, you know, he's 1,006 rated disc golfer and you can't deny the class, and it was on display. They obviously went down, but if you watch that coverage, he has every shot, and God, he looks good.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And just a correction, they did not win all their matchups 4-0. I just had a quick look at the semis, and it was pretty close, so don't worry about me.
speaking of the final nod going to DP after doing some bench warming, were you happy with the final team selections?
What do we have? Oh, I was surprised. I've clicked on the YouTube link. I was definitely surprised to see Finney there. I feel like Rubes was our MP41, and I'm not sure. I didn't have a good look throughout the results, but I don't think I saw anything to suggest that that might have changed. I know Finney was in the semis, and him and Blake did take that L, but they were good up against good competition. Other than that, I did like it. Sarah Lee and Gina Hill. Gina must have done enough to show that she was the clear number two over Kirsten. And love seeing Dave get in. Baney was the hero, so he had to be in. And Blake must have been the most consistent out of the two locals. So I do like that selection, but I was surprised to see Finney in there. How about yourself?
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I would just add, what a nice position to be in. Tough team to get in. Like, you know, leaving Alex out, leaving Paddy Robinson out, obviously leaving Kirsten out, and then, yeah, like you touched on, finding a way to leave Ruben out as well. So some big names, and but it's a team event, and it was good to, you know, watch the coverage throughout and seeing caddying in for each other and having the team managers there as well. And, yeah, just again, second place, phenomenal effort.
Yeah, and big on Paddy as well. Paddy, obviously, team captain, so would have a lot of say in selection along with the team managers and, you know, Cassie. So he left himself out of the biggest matches. So he obviously thought that the other boys were doing more than what he was doing. And, yeah, big on him to try to put team first.
Nice work, Paddy.
Let's have a bit of a chat about the coverage because that was so cool. The live scoring was a bit of a shambles. It's really good. It's very easy now to look back on it, but at the time it was hard. But it was so awesome watching this all unfold.
Yeah. Massive effort by Kyle and the team over there that supported him to get it done. And yeah, the way they obviously scheduled it up to get a mixture of all the countries represented. I'm sure some of the view counts will... I imagine it'll be some of the bigger videos that Parked Media end up putting out there in the end, because there'll be interest, you know, the time they filmed Great Britain, the time they filmed, you know, they filmed Singapore or whoever, like people will just get...
Yeah, even the final with Estonia.
Yeah.
Like, they love that shit.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So that's already at over 8,000 views, the Estonia-Australia match. So yeah, to put that into a little bit of perspective, let's just go through to Parked Media here. Some big wet coverage, has not hit 1,000 views. Pine Lines has not hit 200 views. You know, so, Vic yeah. Open, Vic.
Nah, that's a big
yeah,
one.
Yeah, Vic Open, big video for some reason, couple of thousand views on, round one, front nine, but, yeah. Good get for Parked Media because, yeah, like I just said, over 8,000 views on that final. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. The commentary definitely wasn't what we've come used to. We've been spoiled with the live commentary at Nationals the last couple of years. I think they've done really well. And obviously the post-produced stuff we like, but I don't want to go too hard on them. I had a crack at the live commentary at the Vic Open, and it's definitely, I don't know, I definitely thought I'd be a bit more animated and stuff when I did it. You're different when you're sitting in the chair. So they had a crack, and it was weird times too. Like, these people had to take days off work and things like that. So it definitely wasn't great, but yeah, I don't want to go too hard on them. I just, yeah, we know a lot about match play because we play the Street League. It didn't seem that these guys were too well versed in that, which is not ideal because a lot of people watching wouldn't have been either. So it would have been really good to have that bit more, bit more crisp.
And that was really evident in the live chat as well. In the live chat, it was really evident that, you know, there was lots of viewers who were like a bit confused, like, and it really appeared like many viewers had never even heard of the match play concept. So, yeah, a bit more strength and stability and clarity from the commentators may have alleviated a bit of that. But yeah, it's a challenge. They might feature later in the pod from me.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough indeed. Cool. All right, we'll have a look at a quick look at the upcoming Aussie Open, which, is this weekend. It's the big tournament that they did to try to keep people around and just make it a big sort of 2-week festival of disc golf over there in WA. which is pretty cool.
You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1,000 rated disc golfers playing MPO. 8,000 rated disc golfers playing MPO in Australia. So it's big. It's a big event.
Yeah, there's no way we've ever had that.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Aussie
Open. Yeah, the Aussie Open at a bunch of years ago, yeah.
Yeah, so now really cool. 85 total players. Some people were saying that's a bit light on, but I think that's probably around the mark. They were kind of thinking they're only offering down to MA2. They weren't really, you know, it's like they were trying to make this, an eruption, a 200-person event. Obviously, if they had more of the big pros and stuff stick around, I'm sure they'd be fine. But I'd imagine that 85 with the big, thick field that they've got, we're looking well down the field, and like 972 rated is like 19th highest rated player there.
Yeah.
So in the MPO, I think they're going to be pretty happy with it. I think it's going to be really good, disc golf.
Yeah, it should be good. Kyle Herbo stayed over there for it. Alex Knassin's obviously going to be there. Black Houston's in. Luke Bainey's still hung around. So it'll be good to see how some of the Aussies go up against, a really strong field. You got Simon Feasey there. You got Chris Finn playing, but yeah, the Chris Villa's still there. And Hector Dyker still there. You got 3,000 rated MP40 players as well. So
pretty wild.
Yeah. It'll be cool to watch the scores come in this weekend.
Who do you reckon gets it done in MPO?
MPO, hard to go past Levi Stout.
Yep, I'm going to go way past him. I'm going to Bainey.
Oh.
I reckon Bainey, he's got his feel in. I'm not worried about any of these 1,000-rated guys. He's up and about. New Zealand was shit, so stuff Levi.
Okay.
Bainey's getting it
done. All right. FPO?
FPO, what do we got there? That's hard to look past, I think. Sophia Donakin,
yeah.
She's got her eye in now, surely. Yeah. And I think she'll take it down.
Yeah, she will. MP40.
I've no idea any of these names.
Nah. Let's go with the Canadian in Stewie. He dirty on his spit out. I'm sure it was Stewie who had that spit out. And he'll be looking for revenge on the Rad Baskets.
Yeah, sounds good. MP50, that's right. MP50. You guys heard that? I like that. Our boy Craig Sheether. He's a fan of the show.
I love his warm-up routine. 6 darts for every 1 putt. I'm going to back in Craig as well.
Excellent. MA1, pretty hard to look past Camilo.
Yes. I was eyeing him off, but I'm going past him. Kyle Herbertson.
Ah, oh, beautiful. In MA1 when MA2 is available. But that's
yeah.
MA2, don't really know any of these names. So, JB. We'll go with JB.
Yeah, go on.
Jason Bram. Yeah.
Why not?
But now that'll be a cool one to watch. That kicks off on Friday. We got Nationals the weekend after. So, pretty, pretty spicy.
Bang, bang, bang.
All right, big pod. Oh, actually, I remember Alex sent me something. That might feature later. I'll have a look at that. Big pod. So we'll get to our throwers guarantee and then get some spotlight, not light, and get out of your hair.
All right.
I haven't got the social day yet up, so I'll get it up now. But what are you thinking?
Obviously, we could go to the social day for a guarantee, but we could also go to the Aussie Open for a bit of guarantee as well. I'm going to go towards... I'm going to go towards the social day.
Okay.
And we're going to play, you know what we're going to do. We're going to play a bit of doubles. All right. And we're going to take a couple of the big dogs. We're going to take Penlu.
Yep.
All right. And we're going to pair him up with JC.
Yep.
Then we're going to take Aiden. Bob. Then we're going to take Aiden Howard. So big dog.
Yep.
And we're going to pair him up with Mike Vanderlinden.
Fuck. Penn and JC. Aiden and Mike. Oh, boy. Oh, that's tight. I don't know who I'd rather have, which means I kind of got to give it a five. Penn and JC. Oh, fucking JC. But Penn's so good at the social days. It just all depends on if JC is a complete piece of shit or not.
Yeah.
It's just so hard to pick.
Yeah, it's just like, can Jacob, you know, put a few strokes between him and Mike? And can Aiden match those amount of strokes between him and Penn?
Yeah, I've got it at even money, so I'll give you five for whoever you want.
All right, thank you very much. I'm going to take Aiden and Mike.
Okay. JC, if that guy gets me, I swear. All right. Yeah, all right. Come on, JC. I'm starting to not like it so much. All right, that could be it. So that would get you to 50.
It would.
That would get you to 50. So I need a six to tie. Unless I just back JC into, I'm looking more at the Aussie Open, and I like what I was looking at in Bainey, and I'm liking your surprise, in me liking Bainey. What do you give me for Bainey to make the top three?
Seven.
Top four? Oh, top five.
Nah. So, all right. So, top four.
What do you mean?
Well, nah. Just hear me out. Top four. Top four. Top five. Top five is six, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of thought. That's where I thought you'd go. I like it. I'm taking that.
All right, so you're playing for the tie.
I'm taking that. I'm playing for the tie. I'm playing for the win because Jacob's going to play good disc golf for the first time in a really long time.
Okay, good.
Bainey, top five. Bang.
Big. All right.
All right, we've got it. This could be our final week.
Could be.
Of the year, at least, anyway. What about spotlight, not light? Have you got much?
Yeah,
for
I do.
Us?
I do. Got a few things I need to get off my chest here.
excellent.
Let me go with my knots. And you alluded to the sign ups, 85. The price tag on the Aussie Open absolutely has to be honorable mention, not light. It was at $350 million to play. just absolutely disgusting sort of price tag. I think they did revisit that for some of the AMs in the end, and they pivoted and dropped that price. But we said it at the time, and I don't know if it made it to the pod. It may have, but just in case it didn't, that was a crazy price tag for a disc golf event. The Chinese disc golf team. Having caught up with Jumping yesterday with dinner, she was a beaten girl. The Chinese team took advantage and made her the team manager, the team captain, and made her do all the heavy lifting. There's so much logistics that go into that event that I was alluded to last night. And she was just a bit disappointed with the Chinese disc golf team. So I'm just putting that out there on my podcast. But my actual not light has to go to not rule following and not rule knowing. So you alluded to the grumpy American or Canadian or whatever he was, like throwing OB and then taking the absolute piss with where he thinks he went OB. He was in the shadow realm, so just doing dumb things in the shadow realm. But then I saw so many falling putts on the weekend, and I'm not here for it. Like, if you're gonna rock up to an A-tier disc golf tournament, just like pull your head in. And know some basic rules. And that's on all of our us community. Have we maybe shied away from just like educating these players as they find the game? And if we have, we need to just go back at that. Got to take some responsibility there. But the amount of MA4 jump putts I saw from 2 meters on the weekend, I was like, oh, I'm not here for that. You got to know the rules, guys. So that's my not light.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That is very fair. All of that.
Yeah.
My not light. What did I have? I feel like I had something, but you and me got a cop one pretty bad for the eruption. That was kind of trash. Especially you. But Chris Villa was just mad. He was just so mad on that hole 18. It was just, come on, mate. I might have given him a little spray and then found out that his parents were sitting right in front of me. whoops. nothing else really jumps out to me too much. But, yeah, the live scoring probably for the whiff diff was the big one. Just, it was so hard trying to figure out who was doing what. And we have live scoring sorted out for Street League. Dazza does it. Like, pretty comfortably. How can they not? Like, even if they don't want to use some other app, like, why would they not have? Yeah,
They try to build an app pre-event, and then that's what they try to use. And it was a shamoz. I was talking to the guys about it last night, and they never even heard of this playthrough website. And I was like, they've got to use playthrough next year.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. For sure. So that's probably my big not light is the live scoring. The only thing that really let that whiff diff down.
All right. You want me to jump into my spotlight?
Yeah, go
for those still listening, thank you for hanging around. I've got a spotlight that I want everyone to listen and pass on my regards to the appropriate people. First of all, obviously the honourable mention has to go to the Australian disc golf team, but formidably the selectors. Well done to the selectors for doing all the heavy lifting there. But my actual spotlight, and I mean this with all sincerity, 1,000% has to go to Parked Media, and obviously in particular Kyle Herbo Herbertson. I know we obviously take the piss repeatedly on here. That's kind of what we're here to do. But just the dedication and hours and work and just quality of work that all the whole team at Parked Media do, and they do for Australian disc golf. It just can get a little bit overshadowed, and at times we do just take it for granted a little bit. And I'm just, what they did at Whiff Diff, what they did at Eruption, and just what they do at every single event. You guys are absolute legends, and Australian disc golf is massively in debt to you.
Yep, 100%. Couldn't agree more. And then mine just has to go to Team Australia. There's been a lot of cool stuff, but I don't really care. They got that second place in the world. They did some amazing stuff. It was really cool to see. I'm glad we got to watch some of it live. And I was very impressed. I'm very proud. So they get my spotlight for sure.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi. Cool. All right. Big one. Thanks for sticking around. Good to get back on a normal schedule again, Chris. We'll maybe get one in next week. I'll be in Molong next Wednesday. So maybe I'll give you a call and let you know what I think of the course.
Please do. Peace out.
See ya.